The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'm trusting sound guys, I can get in front of these speakers with this and not have feedback, because I maybe will not stay behind the pulpit. Well, I love it. I just love it when the Lord demonstrates the message before it's preached. I love it when the worship takes us where we're going with the word. I love it when God is at work in ways that nobody knows what they're doing except Him. I love it when we see demonstrated the reality is that they that are sons of God are led of the Spirit of God, and that we have the ability to step into a place that is outside of ourselves, where we do things, say things, think things, and do all kinds of stuff, not knowing that we are about our Father's business. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Happy New Year, by the way. It is a new year. It is a new year. Yes. No. I mean, it is a new year. Yes. Well, it is too. Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 15, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he has been writing in the first 14 verses of chapter 5 about walking in love and walking in light, talking about the evilness of the days and the darkness with which we must not join hands. And then this section here in my Bible, at least, is kind of partitioned off, and that's fine, and is called walking in wisdom. Now, Paul the author did not write that in there, but the reality is that that is what he talks about. So in verse 15, he writes and he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," that is, carefully, "that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Walk with wisdom, because the days are evil. I want to put you in remembrance that roughly a year ago, and I have no idea when it was, but roughly a year ago, sometime last year early, I preached a message entitled, "What on Earth is Going On?" And I preached out of the reality of Scripture that says, out of Hebrews, where the writer says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And in the past year, that message is even more relevant than it was. But the whole point of that message was this: God is putting on display the depravity of man. And I shouldn't say He's putting on display. He's just letting it be displayed. And on every turn, the weakness of man, the frailty of man, the inability of man is being put on display. It doesn't matter whether you talk about our inability to control the weather. Can anyone say tsunami? I didn't even know that word a few years ago. Our inability to control anything. All flesh is as grass, the Lord says. And if you're wondering what is going on, I believe that part of what is going on is God is just letting man be man, so that we might see that man is not God, and that man does not have all the answers, And so on every level, doesn't matter whether it's political, it doesn't matter whether it's social, economic, weather patterns, it does not matter. We are seeing, maybe more than we have ever before, the weakness and the inability of man to control much of anything. And we've got all these devices and all kinds of gadgets and all kinds of computers and all kinds of things to make everything a nice, neat little package, and life is just blowing a hole in it. And we've got satellites and all of this stuff to track weather, and life is blowing a hole in it. All that we might come to a place, more maybe than ever before, that we might recognize that we need a source outside of ourselves. We do not have the answers. We are not the captain of our own soul. We need help. But the days are evil, and that is just a reality. The days are dark. So what are you and I going to do about it? And I believe that the Apostle Paul gives us, and he writes in his day and says, listen, the days are evil. And I want to suggest that today is no more evil than it was then. Evil is evil. Any more than I don't think weather patterns are necessarily changing. It's, you know, things cycle. I remember when I was a boy up in northern Minnesota. It was cold. Get up in the morning, find dogs stuck to fire hydrants. I mean, I'm just saying. And those days come around again. And I remember summers that were hot, and there's nothing new under the sun. But the days are evil. And Paul's answer for that is in verse 17 to begin with. There's a number of answers here. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's important that you and I, as sons and daughters of God, understand the will of our Father. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. What is going on in here? It doesn't matter. You know, I can't control everything that's going on out there. I can control what's going on in here. I can control what's going on in my household. I could maybe control a sphere. I can have input into it. But I need to know what the will of God is. In December, Susie sent Dave and I a text at 4:30 in the morning. Needless to say, I did not get it at that time. But she had woken up with a saying in her spirit that she felt was for 2013. 2013, a year of expectation, reaching for your dreams. And when I read it, I thought about it, I prayed about it, and inside my spirit said, yes! A year of expectation. What are you expecting? What are you looking for? Reaching your dreams. What are you reaching for? We heard from somebody prophetically, either in word or song, I cannot remember, but about the hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's not their words, that's my words. But the reality in the process of waiting for our dreams and waiting, sometimes we grow weary in expecting. It's like, come on, God, get a calendar or a watch or something. Don't you know what, anybody know what time it is? But it is important for us in the standing in expectation and in the reaching for our dreams that we know what the will of God is. I dreamed a dream. Well, was it your dream or God's dream? See, the reality of the secret of faith is obedience, not sacrifice. Yeah, that's right. In the book of Hebrews, the chapter, the heroes of faith, they were They were men and women of faith because they were obedient to what God had said. It was not about a sacrifice that they made, just picked out of the air and said, I'll do this for God. No, it was a faith that was based on obedience to a word from the Lord. And in this pursuit of our dreams, we got to know the will of God so that we're pursuing a dream that is born of God. We must know the will of God. In these days, when days are dark, we need to be a people that might be surrounded by all kinds of chaos and not knowing and all of this, a people who know the will of our Father, who know our God and do great exploits, who know what he's up to. One of the key secrets to leadership is knowing where God is going before you get there so you can lead people there. So Paul writes and he says, in these days that are dark, in this process of walking in wisdom, know what the will of God is. Knowing the will of the Lord. And then he takes us to verse 18, and this is where I want to go. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You and I need to be in a place, and it's actually a command really there in the verbiage in the original, and it is a command that says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. In these days of darkness, you and I must be filled with the Spirit. Now, I've got a question for you. During the flow of worship this morning, was there a tremendous opportunity to fill up your tank? And I just got to ask, and I want to get really personal with you. Did you take advantage of the moment that we hit there in the Spirit to fill her up? I just got to know. The Lord wants, do we understand the way of God? Do we understand music? Do we understand the flow of the Spirit that brings an atmosphere into the room where you can become like a sponge and just pull on God? There is a refreshing that can come from the Spirit, by the Spirit, if we understand the flow of the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. How do you get drunk? Don't you act like you don't know. You drink. Now, I realize that in a group of people this size, there are probably some people here that grew up, like as did I and as did my wife, with drunkenness around you in the natural. I had an alcoholic father. Marcy had an alcoholic mother. It was not good. And so I understand. So when anybody, doesn't matter how cute they are, how funny they are, when they start talking about being drunk in the Spirit, there can be a little bit of a, ew. Could we use another word? Yes, we can. How about intoxicated? That is actually what drunk means. It means to be intoxicated with the Spirit. See, if you're intoxicated with Grain Belt, in my father's case, if you're intoxicated with Grain Belt, you are under the influence of something beyond your natural faculties. To be drunk in the Spirit is to be drunk on the things of the Spirit. To be drunk in the Spirit. To be more in the Spirit than you are in the natural. To be out of your mind and in your heart, not even fully aware of anything or everything around you, but more aware of God. When you're drunk in the Spirit does not mean you need to act goofy and be stupid. In fact, several years ago, we had revival meetings going on, and there were some of the young people, not young youth, I mean young men and women, who were getting deeply touched by God in meetings, evening meetings. For a while, we met six nights a week. But after the meeting, they would go to Perkins and carry on their party that had started in the revival meeting. And they were impacted by God. And men, and young and men, old women, young women were being changed by the power, by the thing we're talking about, a filling of the Spirit, an impacting of the Spirit. So there was joy and there was laughter and there was drunkenness in the Spirit. Why do you think it is that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said to the crowd that had gathered around, "Don't think that these are drunk with wine as ye suppose"? They were acting unusual. It wasn't with the natural flow. But to be drunk in the Spirit is really good if the days are dark, because then you're not sucked into the natural flow. You're in the flow of some other force. You are intoxicated with the Spirit. But these young men in particular took their party to Perkins, and I heard about it from the manager of Perkins, who I know. And so I gently... Who laughed? I was. I gently pulled these young guys aside and I challenged them a bit and I said, "Don't you think that if you're drunk on the Spirit, you will display the fruit of that which you're drunk on? Don't you think that you will display the fruit of the Spirit if you're drunk on the Spirit? Don't you think you'll be joy, yes, love, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, but self-control, which is self under control of the Spirit?" See, the reality is that sometimes some of what we see in the flow of being intoxicated with the Spirit is a mix between that which is spiritual and that which is soulish. One of the responsibilities, if I could say it that word, of the Word of God is to come like a sword and to divide between soul and spirit. Because you like to party, don't you? Yeah. Because we all like to party. And there is a freedom and a liberty that comes in the intoxication of the Spirit that our soul will jump on board with if it gets a chance. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't have fun. That doesn't mean we don't have times of hysterical laughter. It doesn't mean any of that. But it's always in an appropriate setting. And it's always in the flow of what God is doing. If we are drunk in the Spirit, we will display the fruit upon which we are drunk. See, the reality is we are branches that were grafted into the vine, but the wine that we're drunk on is not the wine of the branch, it's the wine of the vine. What did he just say? I thought about this a long time before I thought whether I'd go here or not, but I went there. You and I are grafted into a vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. And see, a wild branch, olive tree, is grafted into the vine that it might bring forth that which is of the vine, not that which is of the branch. And so when you and I pull on the Spirit, we put on display not the fruit of the branch, we put on display the fruit of the vine. And so the reality is when we are filled with the Spirit, we should look more like Jesus. And there should be an authority with which we live and move and have our being. There should be something of His, the touch of God upon our lives. spiritual intoxication doesn't mean, in fact, you might be here today and you maybe have seen someone drunk in the Spirit and you've said, I will never, ever do that. And you may not. My dad had, I
have to get into my head and out of my heart, so I'm not going to count, but somewhere around 5 brothers.
And they liked to drink too, and they were all different. When they were drunk, one of them was a fighter. It was like, he just wanted to take on the world and his brother. One of them was a mushy, mushy lover. It was all kinds of different stuff. And it was all, none of it was good. What am I saying? You and I will respond different to intoxication with the Spirit, and that's okay. Some of you, and I know this because I've seen it, some of you get very sedate when the Spirit gets really heavy in the room. And you need to know that's okay. In fact, in that place, you don't even really want to worship anymore. You just want to sit down and go somewhere. Just go into a place. Whew. I went there in the prayer room today. The guys prayed for me. It was like, oh, whoa. Would everyone please leave? And I don't mean that rudely, but I mean, oh, a place with Father. Thank you, worship team, but I'm drinking something a little better. But this is what we must understand, and this is where we're going to go. They helped bring it. Because I want us to go to the next verses. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What is the way of the Spirit? How do you stay filled in the Spirit? What is this thing of intoxication with the Spirit? I remember when Marcy and I first got saved, and I had opportunity to be home some alone. I would walk around the house, and now, mind you, I don't know nothing yet. I would walk around the house. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God so arrested us and laid a hold of us with His Word and with His Spirit, and it was like, oh, thank you, God. But pretty soon, I would sing. And just a song would come up in my heart. Oh, thank you, God. I love you. I love you. And a song would come from deep inside. That's the way of the Spirit, singing to yourselves in songs and making spiritual melody in your heart. You know why sometimes I shout during worship? Two reasons. Number one, I can't help it. It's just like it just, and obviously, if I sober up, I can help it. But I choose to stay intoxicated, and there is like a, oof, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Those of you who lead worship, I want to encourage you to watch me, because I'll tell you what, I catch a shift in the Spirit about one step ahead of you. And actually, that's probably not true, but it takes time for you to catch it and then begin to put it into song or into the beat or into the keyboard. But I've noticed that. And some of you do too. It's like all of a sudden there's a leaping in your spirit, and it's like, whoa, whew, what was that? That was the Spirit of God. And there's a melody just bubbling up. There's a shift in the music coming. And I know some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? I want to encourage you to begin to watch and pay attention to the atmosphere during times of worship. And to become a student of the flow of the Spirit. To become a student of that which is prophetic. What do I mean by prophetic? That which takes the will of heaven and brings it to earth. And all of a sudden, see, the reality is in this whole thing of being led of the Spirit, of being intoxicated with the Spirit, we need to answer a question. We're in a boat. Is it a rowboat or a sailboat? If your wife comes back, I apologize. See, are we in a rowboat or are we in a sailboat? Even concerning the pursuit of our dreams, are we in a rowboat or are we in a sailboat? Is it dependent upon your own effort? Or you are in a sailboat where you're at the mercy of the wind. A few weeks back, one of our intercessors had a vision of an adult sitting in kind of a small plastic boat, floating in champagne. Bubbly, you know, the bubbly. Don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. And she was struck with the fact that the person in the boat, even though, if I remember right now, was kind of adult size and all that, but they were like a child in their countenance and in their spirit. And they were just carefree and just so relaxed. You know why? And it wasn't a rowboat. I think it was a sailboat. And I think it was dependent upon the wind of the Spirit. See, you and I, in the culture we're raised in, that's one of the frustrations that we see throughout the earth. People have been rowing and rowing as hard as they can. And it's getting harder and harder. Your dreams, your visions, your hopes, your expectation, let it be in the wind of the Spirit. Can you be okay? And believe me, I'm preaching this from some understanding. Can you be okay with sitting still? And waiting on God to bring the wind that will move you from where you are to where you're going. I'll tell you what, the secret is not in the boat, it's in the bubbly. The secret is not in the boat, it's in the wind. Enough of that sitting still for me. Do you know why the scripture says you can speak against God the Father, you can speak against God the Son, but do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Have you ever wondered why it says that? It says every sin will be forgiven man except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This very thing we're talking about, the dependence upon God. Why does it say that? I'll give you my opinion, and I don't want to pretend it's any more than that, but I want to suggest that the reason it says that, see, you can curse the power company. You can curse the transformer right out there, but don't unplug the cord that brings the power in. And when we blaspheme the Holy Spirit, we are speaking the very source by which forgiveness could come to us. We are cutting the cord, if I can say it that way, from the source of everything that God is. What did Jesus say? He said, it's necessary that I go away. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll lead you into all truth. He'll take everything that is mine and give it to you. He will not speak of his own, but he'll speak what he hears from the Father. You want to know what the will of God is? Get intoxicated in the Spirit. And again, I'm not going to apologize for the reality of a place in the Spirit where you're more in your heart than you are in your head. It's what Paul meant when he said, if I'm in my right mind, it's for you. If I'm out of my mind, it's for God. And there is a place where we're out of our mind. Marcy will tell you, some meetings we come away from, it's like, it's best if she drives. Because I'm still in a place of a bit of a haze. Even in worship, you know, have you ever gone to that place? And I know you have, but I'm just provoking you a bit. How often do you go to that place in the Spirit where you're just like, whew, out of it? You can call it soaking, you can call it drinking, you can call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you call it, but do it. Be filled with the Spirit. It's the secret to living in this day. It's the secret to being a bright light in a dark world. Being filled with... See, if we were to read on in this chapter, we'd find in verse 22... And we're not. Whoever's doing that, you don't need to go there. But Paul gives some directions to people in the flow of life, but he doesn't tell them to do what he's about to tell them until they get drunk first. And then he says to you, wives, submit to your husbands. But it really helps if you're intoxicated first. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But it really helps if you're intoxicated in the Spirit to do that. Children, obey your parents. Next chapter, verse 1, children, obey your parents. Kids, young people, I tell you, parents are a lot more easy to understand if you've been floating your boat and sipping the cup. Can I say something to you, teenagers? Pray for your parents. There's one thing harder than being a teenager, and that's being the parent of one. And I mean that. If you see your parents as these invincible people who either know everything or don't have a clue, or both, pray for them. Because neither of those two is true. We go on to verse 3. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. It really helps parenting. In fact, people ask, what are the secrets of parenting? One of them, I believe more than anything else, is to be led of the Spirit. We as parents often talk about how different our kids are, and yet we tend to parent all of them the same. Wait a minute. If they're different, you got to get a download from headquarters on how to handle this situation with this one, and you handle this situation differently with this one, and all of a sudden the 500-pound gorilla comes into the room and screams, that's not fair. No, it's not fair, but it's godly and it's spiritual, and it's being led of the Spirit to understand and to know what to do. And sometimes as parents, I can tell you, if you will allow yourself to be led of the Spirit, you will find that God will cause you to do some amazingly gracious things. And it's like, why, you say what? Our son went ice fishing once, dropped my cell phone down the hole. And you know what I did? And my daughter reminds me of this. You know what I did? I went right out and I bought him his own cell phone. What? I don't know why I did that. I didn't know I did that till she reminded me a few, years later.
why did I do that? What was I thinking? I'm trusting I was led of the Spirit. But she probably doesn't remember the time she was driving our van with me sitting right beside her and did a turn and turned the front end of the door, actually, of the van right into a pole at a gas station. You know what I did? I laughed. I didn't know what else to do. And I pulled her out of the driver's seat and said, "No, you can't drive." "No." I said, "Okay, let's go. Can't fix it here." What was wrong with me? I was drunk on the fruit of the Spirit. It helps. See, if you can be intoxicated with the Spirit, you don't start crunching numbers of deductible and the cost of a phone and all that. It's just like, well, let's party. Now, I'd like to have you to believe that I handled every circumstance that arose with amazing wisdom. No, I didn't. But by the grace of God, the times I didn't, kids survived. I remember John got the pickup stuck once, actually, back here. And he comes in the house. He says, "Dad, you're going to kill me." And I thought, why does he say that? I never have before. Okay, we got to do some stuff here. So the directives that Paul gives for normal family life, and then it even goes on to masters and bondservants, which really could be employee relationships. It really helps if before you try to fulfill some of those scriptures, you recognize that they are all under the umbrella of being filled with the Spirit, being a spiritual person, being more conscious of the things of the Spirit than you are of the things of this earth. Speaking and singing to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. I'm going to ask if everybody that's involved in any type of worship music would come up and just line up across the front here. I've got a charge for you. Come on up. Yes, anybody. Even if you're not from this church, but you're musically gifted, we need you. I mean, the body of Christ needs you. Face this way. Face me. I have a charge for you. And I just want to release an impartation. Anyone else? Where's Ben? Ben? Shoo. I've got a word for you. Where's Joanne? Good. I want to say to you, and I want you to know how important. Is there anyone we're missing? Who's missing? No, but are they here? Okay. What you do in the area of music, and it does not matter whether it's sung, whether it's played, whether it's hummed, whether it's on a drum, on a string, on a keyboard, or in a horn, it does not matter. What you do is very important. And I want you to begin to see yourselves as filler-uppers. I want you to begin to see the role you play in helping us as a congregation be a congregation of men and women and young people and children who are filled with the Spirit. Begin to see the ability that God has given you as a gift to impart spiritually to people. Recognize that the beat that you hear, the words that you hear, whatever it is got oomph behind it of the Holy Spirit to release it to this congregation. It's important that you understand that. I believe 2013 is going to be a year of where God takes worship in this house to a whole new level. Deb, I heard a word for you, and it was this. It's that scripture. I heard a voice from behind me saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And there are things inside of you, and really, I want to deliver this from behind you because that's what I saw. I want you to know that there is a whole company of leaders and people behind you, and they're saying to you, you go and you run with what is inside of you, because I hear the Lord saying, "This is the way, you walk in it." And we are behind you, and we back you. We believe in the vision that God has given you. And there's a freshness and a newness that God is bringing. And we even saw it launched and here released this morning. Ben, I heard the Lord say he's going to take you. You came up to check on the drummer, and I heard that he's going to begin to school you in new and fresh ways. And I heard the term, probably not a word, but it is now, soundology. And it doesn't have to do with, it doesn't have to do with being a sound man. It has more to do with being a man who understands the power of sound, that understands the power of music. And the Lord is going to expand you. He's going to expand you in the whole thing of worship and of the power of music. And he's going to release something. He's going to release a new sound through you. The Lord is very pleased with the two of you. I think I already said this once. But he's very pleased with the two of you. You have weathered a storm and you have weathered it well. Joanna, it was so awesome to see you up here dancing this morning. It was like, oh yeah. Winter's over, spring is here. And there's a new season for you guys. And you're going to find so much fun in serving in the areas that you're serving in. But understand this, it's bigger than that. And it's about your future in the whole area of music and of sound impacting and changing lives. This thing of soaking is very heavy in the both of you. And I want you to know that it's of the Lord. Father, just release it. Just release it. Praise you, Father. Put out your hands. You as a congregation, will you put your hands toward them? I'm just going to believe the Lord for an impartation. Now, you receive an impartation just like you received Jesus. You receive anything from the Lord the same way we receive Jesus. You believe with your heart that you're getting something, and you confess with your mouth that you got it. And more specifically, you confess with your mouth what you want. What do you want? And I hear the Lord asking this of you who have your hands out. What do you want? What is it you want God to give you? What would, if there was one thing he could put in your hand right now, because he's going to, what is it? What do you want? Tell him. Just quietly, but use your voice. I think it's important. Confess with your mouth what you're believing for in your heart. Father, just release it. Answer their expectation and their faith. The Lord comes to you very, very gently. And he wants you to know of his love for you. I have a sense where you need to be spoken to and treated very, very gently. And he just releases it to you. And it's not even like it's a word from your father. It's like it's a word from daddy. Deeper than that. There's a gentleness of the ways of God that he wants you to know. and I don't understand it, but it's like there's been a harshness, and he wants you to know the gentleness. So he comes so gently. Just continue to receive. You know how to receive. You know how to be filled. You know how to drink. Some have tried to tell you you don't, but you do. Just, Father, release an impartation. You're fun. Impartation. New season, guys. New season. New season. New season. New season. Shoo. It's a new day. Shoo. New day. Yes, you're fun too. God's been in these days. He wants you to know that. And in these days that you've been in the valley because you're not with the one you love, you have been discovering your first love. And there are things that you have been learning in the valley that you are going to sing from the mountaintop. And they're going to, it's going to give, those days in the valley are going to give an authority to the mountaintop song. And behind the backing behind what you sing and do will be those days. I don't know anything about anything, but I know this, you've weathered it well. Shoo. Shoo. Impartation. Impartation. Shoo. Music has, and we all need to understand this because we need to learn how to, God wants to teach us as a congregation. See, here's the way I see it, and it's just a natural analogy to help us understand the things of the Spirit. It's like we're going along and we're worship, and all of a sudden we hit a river and we hit a flow, and it's like, whoa. And sometimes we even know it, but we don't know what to do with it. I tell you, what you do with it is you scrap the list on the wall and on the paper and you just follow it. Do you know why worship was so awesome this morning? Because the worship team lost their oars to the boat just before service started. And for those of you who don't understand what happened, the computer wiped out all the settings for the sound and everything, and it's like the keyboard's not on, and it's like, oh God, what do we, I guess we trust God now. See, the secret to flowing in the strength of God is weakness. The secret to touching some things that are beyond our reach is to recognize we don't know what we're doing. Okay, you can go back to your seats. Bless you. And I want you to know you received something. And I want you to know that God's going to use you to change us as a congregation in this.
Can I just share something?
Yes. Can we fire this mic?
When we were in worship this morning, I just felt like when we were exhorted to worship and as in dance, and I just felt like as we danced, I felt like we were dancing on, I just got the word injustice, and I felt like there was, as we were dancing, I felt like there was a hopelessness that had come into our lives, And I felt as we danced, we just crushed that hopelessness. So I want to encourage you that you would declare that in the days ahead, that hopelessness, if that's something that witnesses with you, that God crushed that today.
Amen. Amen. And we may have prayer for that in a little bit. Speaking and singing and making melody in your heart with thanksgiving. One of the secrets to the ways of the Spirit is thankfulness. See, it is silly to declare that we have a confidence in God while we're complaining about the way things are. It's silly to have a confidence that our times are in His hands and then complain about the times. There has to be a thankfulness. That doesn't mean that we're thankful for everything, but we're thankful in everything. We're thankful in the midst of it because it could be different. If you're here this morning and you are born again, you have something really, really awesome to be thankful for. I don't care what else is going on. Even if you're close to death, at least you know when you go, where you're going. That's something to be really thankful for. I've said this for years. I don't understand sometimes why we Christians get so upset by death. I'm just being honest. It's like, do we believe this or don't we? And that doesn't mean we don't press into divine health and all that, but I just mean dying ain't bad for you and I. There's one other group that I would like to invite up, if you would, please. And I don't want anyone to feel pressured, but if the youth, those teenagers, would not mind coming up, I would appreciate it. I have a word for you as well. Rachel May, come on up. Is this the only teenager in the room? Congratulations. No, come on up. It's not a trick. If you're in the youth group, so 7th grade, actually, if you're a young person and you're in the room, you're probably a youth. And if you don't come to youth group, that's okay. For whatever reason, you go to another youth group, I understand that. It's not about youth group. It's about who you are as a young person. How about that lady right there? Come on up, please. Thank you. Thank you for coming up. I want to say something to you all, and that is that many times, working through the process of the teenage years is not easy, but it is preparation for something a little bit more difficult called adulthood. But that does not diminish the reality of just working through the teenage things is not easy. But I want to say to you that you are not a second-class citizen in the body of Christ. Now, the truth is that in the natural, many of you don't drive yet. Some of you don't have a job. You don't do a lot of the things that you will as you become an adult. You have some growing to do. You don't have a lot of life experience behind you yet. But in this whole thing of being filled with the Spirit, you can become, it brings you to an equal playing field with the rest of the body of Christ.
when it comes to flowing in the Spirit, when it becomes to being a woman of the Spirit or a young man of the Spirit, I want you to know that God levels everything out. We say very often, you know, there is no junior Holy Spirit and there is no youth Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God wants to work in you and through you just like He does through all of us. One of our goals, we met as a team, a leadership team for the youth, and one of our goals is to see you all integrated into the flow and the life of our service here on Sunday mornings. We want to see a prayer team developed from some of you guys, more than one. Because the truth is that you have the ability to give God away just like any of us do. And so I want to encourage you in your walk with God to purpose to be filled with the Spirit and to recognize that when you do and when you are, you are as spiritual as I am or Pastor Dave is. And you can be used, and some of you already have, in prophetic things and all of that. But come on up, Rachel. We're just gonna release a grace for you. I want you to put out your hands like as if you were receiving something. And I want you to believe in your heart that God actually has something for you and that it's not a trick. It's not something that's going to be anything but good. Go ahead, just lay hands on Rachel. And we're not going to pray for you for a long time. We're just going to release whatever God has for us to give. But the ability to be a young man, a young woman of the Spirit. That's been something you've been asking for. Just more of you, Father. Just more of you. Whoa, you two get to be up here twice. Fill her up. That softness that you're feeling is the touch of God. Bless, Lord, bless. Stretch out your hand toward these, please. How many of you would love to see these young men and young women being used of God to release His life? Praise you, Father. Now, why did we just do that? Did anything happen? I'm not asking you to answer it. I'm asking you to think about it. See, here's the thing with the things of the Spirit. They often are very subjective. And many times we do not give credence to what God does unless He puts on a show for us. I fully believe that you received something, as did the worship team this morning, and as did we all just through the preaching of the Word. But what causes it to transfer from an impartation to a revelation and a reality is faith, expectation. So I want to encourage you, as you go back to your seats, know that God put something into you, that God released something to you. Hi, Smiley. How are you? You can go back to your seats. Bless you. And the last declaration of our text this morning after Thanksgiving is submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord.
The reality is that the body of Christ is a family. And there is a place where we submit to one another. We honor, Dave was talking a little bit about that. We honor one another. We recognize that we need one another. I know we just read, wives, submit to your husbands, but do you know there's times when I as a husband submit to my wife? Many times. The best accountability partner I got is my wife. Nobody can call me out of stupid like she can. And yes, I can go there. We all can, can't we? But our goal is to more and more be men and women of God who are filled with the Spirit, who display the fruit of the Spirit, who walk in the gifts of the Spirit, not in some supernatural floating through the air way. No, just being supernaturally natural, but being carriers of God, constant dialogue with God, constant connection with God, constant singing and speaking to one another and to ourselves. If you do not speak to yourself, there's something wrong with you. If you do not sing to yourself and to the Lord, and if you don't, see, there's got to let that bubble up. And the thing that I want to exhort you, this morning in worship, if we will learn how to, as a congregation, all of us, pay attention in the atmosphere of the room, what is God doing during time of worship? And if we will all enter in, we'll be amazed at what will take place in the flow of worship. There was a place this morning where I wanted to get up and just get everybody in the room clapping at the same beat. And one of the reasons I don't do that more often is I'm beat challenged. Because I don't know what the beat is for sure. In fact, I watch other people to see, so I'm clapping on beat. But the reality is times like that where everybody in the room is pressing in and there is a tremendous unity of worship that is released. Some of you who are over in this side of things, I want to encourage you to take leadership in leading the congregation in the clapping and helping us be on beat. And then with your voice, provoke a union and a unity of there is a warfare that is released. There is something that is released in the Spirit. But more than anything else, there is a infilling of the Holy Spirit that takes place in the room. Just a saturation. It's important. How you doing, brother? Good. Bless you. I heard the Lord. I passed you in the hall somewhere earlier. And as I walked by, I heard the Lord say this. He's bringing a confrontation to your house. And he's going to do it. You don't have to do it. It's not against you. It's for you. But he is bringing a confrontation of your house to your house. And the Prince of Peace is coming in. And I don't even know what I'm talking about fully. But the reality is he's going to come in and he's going to address some things in the household. And he's going to do it. And it's going to be by the power of the Prince of Peace at work, confronting some things. Depression is going to go in the name of Jesus because the Prince of Peace is in the house. And he's going to step in. There's going to be an angelic activity that he's going to release. And those angels are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation, which you and your wife and kids are. And there is going to be it's like I hear the Lord saying, I'm sick of it. And it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the activity of the adversary, who is really upset with the walk that you're purposing to walk and the steadfastness with which you are refusing to turn back. And the Lord comes this day and he stands beside you and he says, this battle is not yours alone. And he wants you to know he is bringing a confrontation, and he's bringing it right to the house. He it's like I just see him barging in the front door, and he's going to bring the change that needs to take place. This is not an indictment against you. This is not an indictment against your wife or your kids. This is an indictment against the plans and purposes of the adversary. And I hear the Lord saying, no more. And this day there is released. Angels of peace. Amen. Let's agree. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you know we need the Lord to fight our battles for us? Amen. These boots are made for walking. That's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. Boom, 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 boom. Are you ready, boots?
I asked them if they were ready.
Start walking. I want to come back to that word that Marcy had earlier. If that resonated with you about hopelessness and about losing hope in the long wait, would you come up, please?